Amen. I tell you, it's hard to compete with the Holy Spirit. Tyler could have got up here and preached a powerful sermon about that aspect of finishing the race. And my, he said a lot of things that really spoke to my heart and things that I've been thinking a lot about. But your Bibles to the book of Esther. Everybody's going to be quite surprised about that. The book of Esther. I'm going to say this. Brother John, pastor, he issued kind of, and as he was preaching in this text, he said, I don't have time to fully get into that, but that's some good fodder for you preachers. He said that, and so after he told us what we were going to be doing with the different types of preaching, and I said, well, it's kind of hard to preach an expository message when, you know, I mean, you kind of think about preaching verse by verse through a book like Pastor's done with the book of Esther. And he said, well, why don't you just think about taking this text? And so as I looked at it and the Lord began to work with me on it, I believe that was His will. So Esther chapter number 6, Esther 6. If you don't mind, rise to your feet. We'll stand and honor God's word and pray for me. Like I said, this a sweet spirit. I don't want to hinder that, okay? But Esther chapter number 6, look in verse number 13. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. Powerful words, and looking forward to seeing what God has for us tonight. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we thank you for this evening, God, how you've worked in hearts, Lord, and our hearts have been taken back to Calvary. Lord, they've been taken to the book of Exodus and the Passover, and then, Lord, the blood that was shed on the cross, and Lord, just thinking about, God, everything that you've done. And Lord, here we stand because of that. Lord, I pray now that you would just use your word, God, to teach. God, I need your help in a desperate way, God. I'm weak. Lord, I feel it tonight. But God, your Holy Spirit is such a greater teacher, Lord. So God, I pray that just, Lord, help me to get through this tonight, and I pray, God, that you'd touch hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. We're going to play a game of dominoes tonight. I brought me some dominoes. How many people like to play dominoes? I thought, you know, I could set these up beforehand, but I thought, man, if somebody gets to jumping around, you know, and I have some dominoes set up on the pulpit, you know, that wouldn't be a good idea. But you know, kids, they don't really like to play dominoes in the way they're really supposed to be played. Y'all realize that, right? Young kids, what do they want to do with them? Y'all tell me. They want to place them, right, in a line, like so, and then, what do they want to do? Knock them down, right? I can't even set them up straight. But that's what kids like to do with dominoes. How many people done that as a kid, right? Amen. All right, see? Here's the problem. I never knew anyone that had enough money or could talk their mom and dad into buying a lot. You know, what is there? I mean, let's see, 30-something, I believe it was. Nope, 28 dominoes in that box. You can't go far with 28 dominoes and stacking up a domino wall, okay? And, you know, if I would have went to my parents and said, I want you to buy me a pallet of these dominoes right here, they would have looked at me like I was crazy. But y'all know that you can find anything on YouTube, right? If you go on YouTube, you will be amazed at the things that people create with dominoes, okay? I got some down for you. How many people like Guinness World Records? I like that. I think it's pretty neat. Listen to this. The longest domino wall was constructed with 54,321 dominoes. That's a lot of dominoes, y'all. I mean, I got to thinking, how much would that cost for 54,000 dominoes, you know? It was 169 feet long, okay? Just to put that into perspective, right, that's over half of a football field. Think about that. That's a long ways. But this one will blow your mind. 54,000, okay, that's a lot of dominoes. But the record for the most dominoes toppled, they call it, in one event. You ready for this? 4,491,863 dominoes. It took 89 people 8 weeks to set those dominoes up. 89 people, 8 weeks. And they knocked it down in less than 90 minutes. That's the funny thing about it, isn't it? You know what I mean? You spend all that time setting up dominoes just to knock them down in a matter of minutes, right? Say, well, what do dominoes have to do with Esther 6:13? I'm glad you asked. I titled our sermon tonight, The Day That Haman's Dominoes Fell. The day that Haman's dominoes fell. I want to read this text to you one more time, okay? And I want you to just, I'll try to emphasize our points here. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. There's one key word, befallen. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. Okay? And so here we have this word fall that shows up three different times in this one verse, okay? And I was telling Pastor about this, I think it was last week. The first thing, let me kind of hit rewind, because if y'all are like me, you forget some of the things that you've heard preached, you know, in the past couple of months. And pastors went through this whole book of Esther and ended it today. And that's really amazing. So, but I want to just rewind a little bit. Haman, right, had set himself up, and he was the king's right-hand man. And remember how Esther had invited Haman and the king to a special feast. And Haman, he went to the very home, right, and was just elated, because here he was a guest of honor, and he was just bragging and everything. And then that night, the king had heartburn and could not sleep. And remember, he asked for those records to be read, and one thing led to another, and Haman came in, and the king said, what do you think we should do for the man in whom the king delights? And he said, well, I think you need to, you know, put on the royal apparel and, you know, parade him through the streets and, you know, have everybody looking at this man. And Haman was so sure that he was going to be the guy that the king honored, and it all spun around, and he said, hey, I want you to go find Mordecai. And I want you to put on him the royal apparel and put him in the chariot, right? And Haman, all of a sudden, and I think Pastor said, hey, what a difference a day makes. I mean, the tables were completely turned in Haman's life. And it's at this point when Haman just realizes, what in the world? I mean, my world's falling apart. I was up on top, and now, I mean, Mordecai, and he goes back to that same home and tells that same wife and those same friends of all that had befallen him. And one of the things I found out about this little word befallen was that it has an idea. One of the interpretations is that it's like beams being laid down. And this was what I was thinking. Haman thought that he had everything precise in his life. And that's what got me thinking about these dominoes. Listen, Haman had started stacking his dominoes. And listen, he done it with precision, right? He had this whole idea that he was going to rise up. Hey, and he had been. You got to give the old boy credit. And I have that here in my notes. I don't want to skip over that. You've got to give Haman some credit because what? He had ambition.
He did. That's
right. It's not necessarily a bad thing to have some ambition. Everybody now walks through life with none of it, right? It's just, hey, I mean, whatever happens today happens. But Haman had ambition. He had a plan. He had a plan. Hey, he could see himself 5, 10, 20 years down the road. Does anybody think about that now? No, they really don't. But that's, hey, he had goals. He had goals. Those are good things. Haman, I think we could easily say, was a hard worker. Okay? All of these things are good, but I want you to hear me right here. This is just an important statement, I feel like. It's a biblical principle. A life with ambition, plans, and goals is worthless when it is void of the presence and power of God. Let me say it one more time, okay? A life with ambition, plans, and goals is worthless when it is void of the presence and power of God. How many of us set up our dominoes without any thought or care if God is in the mix? Tyler said he said a very important word just a minute ago, direction. Direction. That, see, hey, we can have ambition, we can have plans, we can have goals, but are we headed in the right direction? Yeah, I'll keep with this theme because it's so interesting. You go home and look up Domino Day 2009, okay? Write that down and, hey, it's just amazing. Yeah, I mean, look, these dominoes, it's not just like they're these little white ones, okay, with no, they're different colors. And when they set them up, they're like portraits. They're paintings almost like, but they're all set up with dominoes. It's wild, okay? And listen, all these dominoes, they're going different ways and they're doing different stuff, and it's really something to see, okay? And look, though, that's how our lives are. Okay? We're setting things up, right? And look, we expect when we, for everything to go just like we planned it to go, okay? Pastor said it a minute ago, hey, we think church service like that sometimes, right? We set up the dominoes and hey, I was back there going, Lord, if it's not your will for me to preach this tonight, God, you take over. Because I didn't want to get in the way, and I still don't. But this is Haman, y'all. He had this thing all set up. So that's just kind of a long introduction. I want to jump into our points, okay? And falling, y'all realize it's easy to do? It's easy, y'all. I mean, in a physical sense, right? You can be standing one and it... And you're down on the ground, right? So But there's some processes in there, okay? But it just happens really quick. The first one I want you to see, the dawning of a fall. Now, in our lives, right, it can take some time. Physically, like I said, you can just, boom. Something happens, get you off balance, you know. You can fall pretty easy. But in life, sometimes it's a chain of event. It's one domino that starts a chain reaction. So this is the dawning of a fall. Listen, the initiation we have put into place. Okay? And this is where Haman's wife said, "Before whom thou hast begun to fall." So it's a beginning. Haman was born to Hammedatha the Agagite. Pastor mentioned this a few months ago. This means that he was probably a descendant of the Amalekite king Agag that Saul refused to execute God's judgment on. And thus there was, listen to this, a family animosity against God and His people. Y'all understand, listen, the house you grow up in, there can be some likes and dislikes that are just kind of generated into you, okay? I mean, listen, food, right? I mean, it's kind of you have a family microculture and you eat things that your buddy down the road might look and go, that's just the strangest thing, right? And you know, the places you go, the vacations you take. Some people like to go to the beach. Some people like to go to the mountains, right? And we just simply, some families, I don't like them, right? And the kids go, my dad doesn't like them, so I don't like them. Y'all get what I'm saying? Isn't that the truth? We're like that. Come on. Hey, Haman grew up disliking, despising the Jews. I want you to think about this with me, okay? The most telling thing about Haman is mentioned four different times in the book of Esther. It's found in first in chapter number 3 and verse 10. God tells us that Haman was, listen to this, the Jews' enemy. The Jews' enemy. Those are the only four times in the whole Bible that phrase is there. The Jews' enemy. That's who Haman was, okay? When you and I begin to stack our dominoes in opposition to God, listen, we've got our ambition, we've got all the things that we want to do, but listen, they're in opposition to God, His ways, and His people. We are destined for trouble. Okay? We are absolutely. Hey, you know the old saying? Listen to this. If you mess with him, you mess with me. I had a buddy like that growing up in school, right? I mean, he wasn't a big guy, you know, but he was just a lot more brazen and tough and everything than I was. So, you know, if I ever found myself in a verbal altercation, you know, that looked like it might get physical, you know, my buddy was always there, you know. If you mess with him, you mess with me. Hey, that's how God was about His people Israel, and still is, okay? You mess with God's people, and you're messing with God. I feel like, hey, the church, what is the church? It's the bride of Christ. How much do you think the Lord Jesus is willing to defend His bride? I mean, right? And hey, He's jealous over us with a godly... He doesn't want anybody as our enemy. So Haman was the Jews' enemy. But let me ask you this. Have we not all set up ourselves to be God's enemy? The unbeliever shakes his hand in God's face and says, I'll go my own way. Thank you very much. You know, I was thinking about, you know, this, and look, we're born into these different family situations, right? And look, sometimes we have dominoes set up in place before we're even born. We have and you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Hey, pastor, born into a home of a pastor. He had, hey, by the grace of God, he had some dominoes set up in place, right? But, okay, and there's other people that cannot be said for. I've been thinking recently, I could have been born in Iraq, in Afghanistan. I could have been a Muslim. I could have been born in a country without the gospel. We ought to just say, hey, thank you, Lord, that I was born here in America. Yeah, we got some messed up stuff around here. But, man, the gospel's flowed freely for hundreds of years here. And listen, I heard the message and I was born again by the grace of God. Amen. So we can't, though, overlook the fact that people have some dominoes set up even before they're born, okay? But we have a personal responsibility. Because we begin to put up that line for ourselves, right? It doesn't take us long, y'all. We learn to lie. We learn to manipulate. Y'all, I hate to break it to you. Brother Timothy and Miss Lexi, little Samuel there, he's going to set up a line of dominoes in opposition to y'all, and it ain't going to take long. But he's going to be sweet. It's going to be a lot cuter than other kids doing it. What I'm getting at is, though, listen, we're sinners, y'all. Hey, by choice. I understand we go, why did Adam and Eve have to do what they did? We say, but you know what? This is what we need to respond to ourselves. I'd have done the same thing. You know? And it's the truth, y'all. We're sinners. We do what we want to do. The flesh riles up itself and we go headlong into it, okay? And that makes us enemies of God. Boy, this one hit me hard last night. Listen to this, Colossians chapter number 1. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And I was just thinking to myself, I mean, this message, you know, it doesn't necessarily really have a salvation necessarily emphasis, but I was thinking, man, here we are. We're Haman. Pastor's been trying to get this across. Hey, you can look at the characters on the pages of the book of Esther, and if you look close enough, you'll see a mirror and you'll see you standing right there. And you and I are no better than Haman. We're no better than Haman. So I thought to myself, I'd be willing to just cut the message short if there's somebody here tonight that said, that's me. I'm an enemy of God, but Christ came to reconcile me. And I want to come tonight and wave the white flag of surrender and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Hey, save me tonight. And God will do it. Amen. And you'll no longer be an enemy, but a son. Amen. Amen. That's what we need. Y'all, hey, you... And you know, I was thinking about this. God just takes your dominoes when you get saved. And listen, He puts them on a different course. Hey, He puts them in a different direction, pointing you where you need to go. Oh, but I got just a little one for believers right here. Hey, this applies to believers also. Listen to what James says. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And I submit to you that the book of James is written to believers. And he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Right. So I had to point right here. Am I a friend of the world system, right? That's what he's talking about here. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If I am, then I am at enmity with God. Amen. That's just the facts, y'all. But that's our dawning, okay? That's just when that first domino, right, begins to go. Then let's look at the descent of a fall. I know I got to move quick here. The descent of a fall. Boy, it started. And this is the impact we have on those around us. The impact of those around us. Pastor just took us through some of the outcomes of Zeresh's prophecy. And I used that word very intentionally. And I got to thinking about this, Pastor, that the world sometimes is wiser than believers about some things. The Lord Jesus actually alluded to that fact, okay? Sometimes, y'all, we're blind to some things. We really are. We need to get our head out of the sand about some stuff, amen? Hey, it's no time to to be fussing and fighting. I mean, that's all people want to do right now in the Christian circle, okay? And it's just shooting at each other constantly. We don't have time for it, okay? This is, and so, let me, hold on. Listen, the world can see the danger coming, okay? And they know how to position themselves, right? And we're just like oblivious. We've got to be wise in the days in which we live, okay? Haman's wife had her eyes open and she could see the writing on the wall. Her husband was not going to win this battle. Although he had positioned himself so nicely, he had placed his dominoes just right. Man, how much power he had already attained, right? But all of it was in vain because it was all void of God. As we are building our empire of dominoes, they are not going to stay in our lane. See, this is what happens in our life, right? As we stack up our dominoes and everything, and they begin to fall in the direction that we think that they want to, we're going to kind of bump into people. Sure. Our dominoes. What I'm getting at is, we're not an island. Here at Linwood Baptist Church, y'all know me. I'm a preacher, right? If I go and sin publicly and it becomes known, it's going to have an impact on each one of you. And I don't have any control over what that's going to be. Hey, every decision that you... I'm picking on them tonight. Sorry, y'all are on the front row. Every decision that you two make is going to have an impact on little Samuel. Every single one. Y'all, as you live this life and you're walking down this path, just know that you're having an impact on people. So watch out the way that you set your dominoes up. Hey, when they begin to fall, you might not can control what happens, the consequences that are going to come. Haman, what happened? 10 sons hanging on the gallows. Do you remember? He couldn't see it, y'all. But his boys died because of the direction that he took his life. His boys lost their lives. That's a big truth, y'all. Would we live our lives different if we could see the domino effect it was playing in our families, our friends, and our church's life? Would we live different? If we could see into the future just a little ways, just a little ways. Let's look at our third one real quick. The definitive end of a fall. This is the illustration that we leave behind. Right here, she tells Zeresh, his wife, and his wise men say, thou shalt surely fall. This word surely, it's basically a doubling fall. It's kind of, it made me think about when Jesus said, verily, verily. Hey, there's no doubt about it. His wife was just simply telling him, Haman, it's over. It's over. But I got to thinking about some things like this. I don't believe that. Do y'all remember when Saul, he went to the witch at Endor, and Samuel told him, he said, tonight is it. You know, tomorrow you'll be with me and my sons, right? Can I tell you something? Some people, and I don't know where I fall on this, just hear me out here, but was that Samuel? It's hard to know. He was at a witch's house, y'all. And think about this, and the message was one of doom, okay? Do y'all know that as long as there's air in our lungs, that, hey, we can cry out to God for mercy, and, hey, He will show us grace? I believe that Haman could have possibly went there and begged for forgiveness. I don't know, y'all. But hey, that's an earthly illustration, okay, here. But I do know this because God's Word tells us, hey, as long as there's breath in our lungs, we can cry out for mercy, okay? Yes, Haman was given a message that, hey, it's over. But listen, if you feel like your life is over, or maybe you've just sinned too much, or you've gone too far, listen, don't believe it. That's a lie of the devil, okay? That's not coming from God. That's not the Holy Spirit. Hey, God's going to say, come unto me. Come unto me. Boy, you're laboring. You're tired. You feel like it's over. But I've got another shot for you. I've got another chance for you. But let me say this. There will come a day. There will come a day when it's over. You will not have a chance. And here's the thing. You do not know the day that that's going to come. Y'all, here's the thing. We know that it's been said. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus, okay. But y'all, He's coming back. Okay? I don't mind saying it again, okay? It was true 50 years ago, and it's true today. But hey, it's more true. We're closer now. We've got to be. There's only one direction this thing's heading, okay? And listen, everything, we won't talk about dominoes lining up, and I know y'all are going to be sick of hearing about dominoes, but hey, they're lined up, amen? Yes. And I mean, boy, it's like, I got to think about it. God's got this thing. He's the master architect. Amen. At the end of the day, He's the one that's really controlling this thing. He's really the one. And I got to, you know, when Haman said, when he told them all that had befallen him, I thought to myself, for the first time, I believe, in Haman's life, he came to the realization, I'm not in control. I'm not in control. Y'all, it's a good day when you come to that conclusion. You are not in complete control. Hey, the Lord's will is going to be done. And He is coming back. You don't know. There is a definitive end to your fall. There is. Now, last one. This kind of backs it up a little bit, okay? The duration of the faithful. The duration of the faithful. I like this, y'all. The intervention that puts us back on the right path. And look, this is one of those, if there's ever two letters put together that are more powerful than the two letters IF, in the Bible, you look at that, you know what I mean? It's those but God, you know. Here's one of those if. Listen to what it says. Look at verse number 13 again, okay? It says, and Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews. Hey, I want you to imagine something with me as we close, okay? Imagine that you've never read or heard about the book of Esther, okay? And let's say you just come to the Bible, I mean, a blank slate, okay? And the book of Esther is the first thing you decide to read. And listen, imagine that you were only hearing Haman's side of things up until this point, okay? Up until this moment, you would think to yourself, wow, what a dark and bleak picture it is for Esther and Mordecai and all the Jewish people. You'd say, they don't stand a chance. Right? I mean, everything was stacked against them. They were nothing but, you know, captives in a foreign land, right? They were just slaves. And here this man, Haman, is the right-hand man of the king, and he basically signs the death warrant for all the Jews. That's a pretty bleak situation. So if you're just a newcomer to the Bible, you're thinking, it's over for them. Now, I want you to think about being a Jewish young person like Esther at this time. You have never lived in your homeland. An attempt has been made for many years to completely erase from your mind the word, yea, the promises of God. Because if you'll remember, back there with Daniel, what were they trying to do? Hey, don't eat like a Jew anymore, right? Hey, we're going to change your name. We're going to do all this different stuff. So this is the culture that Esther is living in, right? Hey, trying to completely erase everything about God. But God had a bigger plan. I want you to think about this. Here the book of Esther is, right? They've been captives in Babylon. In the time frame, am I right, Pastor, that Ezra and Nehemiah are after this? In the timeline of things, okay? The going back, hey, rebuilding the wall and everything. God, talking about our dominoes now, hey, with Esther becoming queen, God sets a domino in place. And listen, the next thing you know, Nehemiah is what? He's a cupbearer. Okay? For a king. And he has a close relationship with this king. Next thing you know, the king's like, oh, you want to go back to your homeland? Oh, you need some money? Oh, you need some supplies? Oh, you need this? Oh, you need that? Do you see what I'm saying? God's going, hey, I've got a greater plan than just Esther. This thing is much bigger. Here's the thing, y'all. Our lives, God's got a masterpiece, okay? God's got a masterpiece. Remember I told you, some of those domino things that they set up, boom, they knock them down, and man, you might see one. It's an American flag. Or it's this and it's that. Here's the thing. When you live for God and those dominoes fall and your life is complete, you are going to leave behind a picture, an illustration, if you would, for all of the world to to see the people that knew you, okay? And what I'm getting at is but God's going, and look, your life is done, but remember, hey, it's boom, it's bumping into other people. And listen, when it's right for God, when it's a life that's lived for God, man, it's going to spread, right? And just think about this, on down the line, what you living for God right now might make, you might not ever be anything. But you might have somebody that you're going to touch their life, and man, you're going to be a small part. Your domino would have ran into their set. And listen, it's going to spread, and the lives that are impacted are going to be greater than you can imagine. Like I said, God had this thing set up, and look, it's all leading. And it's leading. Hey, you preached it. Think about those with Ruth, right? I mean, it looked like it was over for them. I mean, the boys were dead, right? And God turns this thing around and says, I'm going to put you in a line. I'm going to put you in a line, Ruth. I'm going to put you in a line that leads straight to the Savior. Sorry to steal from your message, but I'm just saying, y'all, Brother Tyler, I keep going back to, he said, look, I don't just want to be saved. I want to be sanctified. It's a process, y'all. Hey, when we're saved, man, God, He saves us all the way. But that sanctification process, listen, that's the impact. That's where the impact is, y'all. It's in your sanctification process. The impact you're going to have on other lives is what you do with what God has given you. At the end of the day, that's what this thing is all about. If you'll bow your heads with me tonight, reverently across the house, rise with me. It might have just been a dumb illustration, but I believe that God, He just wants you to line up your dominoes, let Him knock them over, and I tell you what, He's going to do right by you.